I greet you all in the name of our all-powerful God this morning. He's the one that knows us sometimes better than actually what we know ourselves. And sometimes it's humbling to think about that. We think we know ourselves very well. I like the one of the second to last songs, says, Shine, Jesus, shine. And you think about the words in that song, are we desiring God to shine in our lives? Are we okay with what He's going to uncover? It says, search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Are we ready for God to uncover the darkness within us? For a passage this morning, so turn to John 14. I'm going to read a bit of the passage here. It's sets the stage for the message I have for you here this morning. John 14, we're going to start at verse 1. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye know that me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." And Philip said unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus said unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And now sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, and he doth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for every work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he also do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do. And that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of the truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keep them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him and will manifest myself in him. And Judas said unto him, Not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? And Jesus said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. And he that loveth me not, keepeth not the sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things in your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, but give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm going to cease reading there. Reading this passage, we see a time that the disciples were, would you say, struggling to understand what Jesus meant about the Comforter that was to come. One thing was because it was, would you say, it was unheard of. It was something they have not experienced as of yet. And they also, the disciples were grieving the loss of the coming of Jesus' physical presence. They wanted Jesus to stay and lead them. They were struggling with the emotions of thinking of him gone. I ask this question, would we have been any different? I don't know about you, but I think for myself, I would love to have had the opportunity to walk and talk with Jesus, as it were, as talked about in the Bible. And how beautiful that would have been to have that experience, that one-on-one experience. And you read the scriptures, and sometimes you really actually, you read about the disciples there, and you really wonder how much did they actually even appreciate the opportunity they had. Prior to the crucifixion, in the setting of this passage we read here, God did not live in the hearts of the people, but it would come into the presence of the temple, and only certain people were allowed into the Holy of Holies. It didn't matter how God-fearing you were. If you went into the Holy of Holies, you would die if you were not one of the chosen. But like Jesus said, a Comforter will come. When I'm gone, I will not... When I'm gone and I'm not here to walk with you and teach you, a Comforter will come to teach you all things and to direct your paths. And that Comforter is the Holy Spirit. You know that we can dream of how it would have been to walk with Jesus, but we are so much blessed because we can not only walk with the Spirit, but the Spirit lives within the heart of every believer. I raised a question earlier. Did the disciples truly appreciate the opportunity that they had to walk with Jesus? I ask. But you can ask yourself. Do you realize the opportunity that you have to have the Lord Almighty to live within each one of you? Do you understand the power that is unknown by the people of this world, a power that flows from the Holy Spirit into you. Do you appreciate the gift that was given you? Every single one of you have a chance to have the Spirit to live within you. But in order for us to receive the Holy Spirit, you must desire the presence of God and have your heart prepared. This morning, I want to talk about what it means to truly embrace the Spirit. Not just believe in Him, but to live as a people indwelt and led by Him. This morning, to set the stage, we're going to sing a verse of song. It's a verse of song of a prayer. And sometimes I think we can not really pay attention to what we're singing and kind of miss the loaded words that actually are there. And I just ask that you sing it prayerfully and think about the words that you're singing. Sing, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Prepare me. Prepare me to be a sanctuary for your Spirit. Not just because, just a want, but a desire for your Spirit to live within us. Is the Spirit living within you? Is the Spirit living within your soul? Do you feel the Spirit within you? Do you hear the Spirit speaking to you? Is the communion with the Holy Spirit a reality for you? Or do you struggle to hear what He has to say in your life? Message title this morning is Embracing the Spirit. First point of the message is, to embrace the Spirit, you must desire to be prepared. Psalms 127:1, it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. When we pray, Lord, prepare me, we are admitting that I am not complete. We are admitting that I am still being formed. We are praying that I am still needing shaping. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. We are not naturally pure. And the only one that can cleanse us is our Lord, our Almighty. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. It's not talking about a physical building or a house that we live in, but it's your heart, your life, your relationship with your Maker. He desires to build that connection with you. If the Lord must build the house, then we must stop trying to build it ourselves. And if the Lord is not building your house, then everything you're doing is an empty religion. Have you asked God to prepare you? Or have you asked Him to bless what you have already built? How long are you? How long am I going to keep trying to do this on our own? God wants us to send His Spirit to come and walk and talk and to live in your hearts. but not only to live there, but to teach you all things, as the verse says. He wants to live in you so that you can teach you the way of Christ. In verse 26 there says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." You think of newborn Christians. There is a very few, if any, that know everything right from the start. You think of the many people that Jesus told when he walked on this earth, "Your faith has made you whole." It wasn't that they knew everything right away. It wasn't that everything was perfectly in their life, but it was because they had simple faith in Christ and desire to do whatever it took, even though I'm sure they didn't realize at that point what they may have still, that there might have been still some things that they had to work on. But they had the desire for God to make them into what they needed to be. And I'm sure if you would ask some of the older folks here, they would say the Lord is still showing them things to grow in. It's a lifelong process. It's not a once and done thing, but a long term continual work of the Lord in our hearts. The Spirit fills surrendered vessels, not self-sufficient ones. Second point is, to embrace the Spirit, you must be pure and holy, tried and true. First Corinthians 3:16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of the God is holy, which temple ye are." The Spirit has come to show us where we need to change, to purify weakness within us, to help us cleanse our hearts so that he can live within us. The Spirit brings light to a problem that is in your life. Do you take it? Do you hearken to his direction? Or do you apply the direction that he brings to you, or do you ignore him? Maybe he brings to light hidden bitterness or secret pride or unforgiveness, quiet compromise or entertainment that dulls the conviction. We see people around us and also read about people in the Bible that harden their hearts against God because they refuse the direction of God. If we ignore the direction from the Spirit, we harden our hearts and lose sensitivity to hearing his voice speaking within us. If you're struggling here today in hearing the voice of the Spirit, is it because you are not making room within your heart? Or is it because you fear what the Spirit will find in the dark places? The Spirit does not and will not share space with cherished sin. Romans 12:1 says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." we want to experience the power of the Holy Spirit within our lives, we must have a life of that is pure and holy. We must have a heart that is spotless. We are the temple of the Most High. And you look back at scriptures and you read about the vengeance that was, the reverence that was given at the temple, and the reverence to God. The temple had to be perfectly clean and holy. The priests had to examine themselves and be without fault. And the sacrifice that was offered had to be perfect and the best that they had. What are we doing to reverence God's temple today? Are we giving God the best? Are we giving God the best temple to stay in? If they were required to treat their physical temple buildings with such respect, how much are we to treat our bodies? Do we have a reverence? Do we have reverence on church on Sunday, but during the week we risk our life doing, I'm going to say, stupid things? First Corinthians 3:17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. The temple is God is holy. I was thinking, I just want to say my appreciation to John's devotional this morning that was very fitting to what I had to share. And he talked about that employer taking this person and allowing him to cleanse his business of things that were not going well. You know, we're not that much different. We allow the Holy Spirit to come in and cleanse the evil within us. But you know, when the Spirit finds something that we do not want to deal with, we either throw him out or we allow the sin to stay there. Do we cleanse and get rid of the sin that we need to? To embrace the Spirit, you must live with thanksgiving. You may say, well, I'm mostly a thankful person. I don't struggle with unthankfulness, so I can check that box off. But we want to think a little deeper than that. The Spirit was sent to live in our hearts, to direct our paths, to give direction the way we should go. Are you thankful for the things that you have to face? Do you believe that every hard thing that you are facing is for a reason? Or do you feel frustrated because of what God has called you to and it's cutting into your personal desires? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Thankfulness is not pretending that things are easy. It is trusting that God is working. Thankfulness guards us from bitterness. Thankfulness keeps us humble. And thankfulness reminds us that God is present even when life is hard. A grateful heart becomes a fertile ground for God's Spirit to dwell within us. Proverbs 3:6, and in all our ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct our paths. The Spirit sees beyond the here and now, and when you When you do not know where to go, call out to him because he can see what is in your future. Be thankful for the hard things he calls you to, because he may have just saved you from something that would have even been harder. Are you resisting the very thing God is using to refine you? To embrace the Spirit, you must be a living sanctuary for him. And I want to focus on that living sanctuary. You think of the song there, it says, "Prepare me to be a living sanctuary." What is a living sanctuary? John, in verse 23, says, Jesus answered and said unto him, "If any man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." God does not want Sunday visitation, but he desires a daily habitation. He desires every relationship with you, not just come when we need him, but to come and set up home. He will only leave you if you no longer make room for him. You think of that living sanctuary part, it's not a dead one, but a living. God desires to be living in a heart that is alive, not alive as physical living, but alive as one that has communication with him. A one-way relationship is a dead relationship. And he desires for you to be seeking his direction. He desires for you to seek his comfort, and he will never get tired of you crying out for help. But in every relationship, but in a way that the relationship with the Holy Spirit is no different than any other relationship that we have on this earth here. And that is, if you never give a friend, you think about your relationship here that you have, whether in church or at work or just other friends around us, if you never give your friend time to talk, you will never learn from them. Are you giving the Spirit time to speak to you? Sometimes we can get into the trap that we only speak to the Spirit when we're desperate, but ignore him when we're comfortable. He will not force himself where he is not welcome. If you're struggling to hear the direction of the Spirit in your life, are you asking him for help? Or are you telling him what you need? Too many times we get in the trap of only saying what we have to have, and we expect it has to be that way. To embrace the Spirit, it requires humility. Nothing can be done except through humility, and humility is a hard thing, especially for us men. And maybe some of the women here also struggle with this, but well, I'm going to pick on the men a little bit. It's hard to admit when we need help. Or maybe you do, maybe you don't struggle with that. Maybe I'm the only one here that does, but it's hard to admit that I can't do this on my own. Human nature is to do it on our own, and only once we run up against it do we ask for help. But God wants you to ask for help. We are not our own, but God's. We come from God, and we are God's, but yet we want to be our own. In order to recognize that the Spirit is doing in your life and how He cares for little things in your life, it takes humility. Are you seeing the Spirit work in your life? The Spirit came to comfort and to bring direction, but He is here for the little things in your life. You can easily get this idea that the Spirit speaks and works it. You can get this idea if the Spirit speaks in your life that it's going to be this big and glamorous and, would you say, awesome thing. So that is what you watch for and miss the little things that He is doing within the heart of you or doing in the everyday little things in our lives. The Holy Spirit is not there only to search out where you need to grow, but He is there to help pick up when life is hard and to show you what you need to do. I'm going to tell a little story this morning. It's a story that I'm going to say some of you at least heard parts of. I'm going to share it because it drives a point home. One evening, I'm going to say 7 o'clock or so, my wife ran to the grocery store. And I'm there to be taking care of the children and taking care and watching over them. And for a man, yes, sure, that's pretty easy. We can easily do that. It's not a problem. Three oldest were out in the garage working little projects. It's at our old look house and bypass. They're out there in the house, and I'm out back with Adric. We are putting together, or taking apart, I forget, a bunk bed. He was there playing right next to me. And all of a sudden he was gone. And for a youngster, that's not abnormal. Very abnormal. I mean, it was very normal for him just to here and there. And you know what? He could have went out to the boys. He could have went out to the sandbox. He was just, the setting of this was, it was just starting to get dark. But maybe he went out to the sandbox. But in that moment, when I suddenly realized, and I don't think it was very long time at all that he was gone, all of a sudden, he's gone, and I had this strong feeling within me, he left. And any other time, it would have been like, okay, I need to go front to the living room, see where he's at, go to the garage, whatever. But there was this strong feeling, he's gone. And the other unique thing about it, it wasn't just that he was gone, but it was that he left and went straight out the driveway and across the neighbor's yard. And that's what I had that feeling right there. And up to that point, I later found out that my wife said he did go into the neighbor's yard before. But at that point, I had not known that. But you know, the first thing I do, I don't listen to that feeling I have, but I go look out in the garage. Do you see him? Boys are like, no, they didn't see him. Go downstairs. I look at the sandbox. I go through the woods. I go through the barns. And it's getting dark. And we didn't have any flashlights. The only thing we had with lights was the mower. So Josiah decided he's driving up and down the roads. I'm like, well, whatever. There's nothing else to do. But I still didn't listen to what the Spirit told me. After driving around the block with the lawnmower, he finds him a half a mile up the road, sitting crying along the road with the little dog beside him. To get there, he would have walked straight out the driveway and across the back of the neighbor's yards, following the little dog walking ahead of him. And if only I would have listened to what that feeling I received, he may have been found 20 minutes earlier in the backyards of the neighbors. Our God cares not only for the big things, but he cares for the little things. And one can say, I had this gut feeling or I had this hunch. And I know I use those terms many times freely. And I'm sure you have too. And I'm not here to say that it's wrong, but I'm here to challenge you. That gut feeling may be just the Spirit speaking to you. We say, oh, from my experience, I just had a bad feeling about something. But have you thought about it? Just maybe the Spirit had led you into some experiences that caused you to have that gut feeling. Sometimes what we call instinct is just actually years of Spirit training. Point I wanted to make this morning, if we lack humility and have an elevated view of ourselves, we miss the subtle acts of the Spirit, what the Spirit does in our lives. God resisted the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Are we humble enough to see the works of our Lord? Behold, the Spirit has come. Not only to stir us in this moment, but to walk with us when we leave this place. Through the coming weeks, through the coming years. The Spirit has come to dwell in the patient hearts. To teach us how to love. When love is so costly, to give us courage to obey when obedience seems so hard, and when temptation comes knocking on our door. We do not leave here alone, but we go as a people, Spirit-led, guided into truth, strengthened for faithfulness, and shaped into the likeness of God. So let us go from this place quietly attentive. Attentive to his voice. Ready to forgive. Ready to serve. Ready to live the life we have been given. Behold, the Spirit has come. He came for you today. Will you embrace him? Or will you walk out of these doors with an empty heart? I trust that you know and have embraced the Spirit of our Lord. Let's kneel for prayer.